Temptation was a word that came up numerous times on Tuesday when Rassie Erasmus was addressing media in France ahead of South Africa's crunch Rugby World Cup semi-final against England in Paris this weekend. He has many options at his disposal when talking about team selection. Joined in the Cape Town studios once again by Hamann Mostert. Morning, Hamann.
Morning, Lloyd. Good to be here. Looking forward to cracking semi-final weekend. Yeah, let's hope the bookies are correct this time around and we get our dream final, which would be South Africa, New Zealand.
It's certainly very possible. Welcome back to all the listeners to the Inside Pass, News 24's dedicated daily Rugby World Cup podcast. Rassie talking about temptation, talking specifically about team selection. The Box will announce their team tomorrow morning. That's Thursday morning, 9 o'clock as we have it at the moment, for what is a rematch of the 2019 Rugby World Cup final, South Africa's World Cup foe. I mean, so much history now, especially in the last 4 years, you know, between those two teams. And it really is a massive, massive game. You know, going into the tournament, Hamann, you would have thought, you know, given the disastrous kind of build-up England had had, firstly under Eddie Jones and then in the Six Nations, and, you know, given how the Box had steadily progressed and, you know, entered the tournament in some pretty good form after their win over the All Blacks at Twickenham, you know, this should have been a relatively routine fixture for the Box under normal circumstances. But here we are in a semi-final and all of a sudden, you know, all of that history almost goes out of the window, and what you have is a World Cup semi-final between two powerhouse World Cup teams.
Yeah, look, England, obviously, they've had an easy draw. But what happens with that is, you know, they've built up matches. They've got matches under their belt. They're the only unbeaten team remaining in the tournament. And it doesn't matter who they played. You know, if you win matches, it gives you confidence. And they would have built up a lot more confidence now. If you look before the tournament, they lost at home to Fiji. They appear to be in disarray. You know, people were saying that, you know, Steve Borthwick wasn't even the right guy as head coach. You know, no one gave them a chance. But I mean, we all realistically knew that they would probably get there, considering the draw that they had. They only had to get past basically, you know, Argentina. Obviously, I mean, Japan wasn't as good this time around as they were 4 years ago. So it wasn't that tough for England to make it this far. And then obviously they played Fiji in the quarters, a very good Fiji team this time around, but still you'd expect England to get through, to have gotten through that game. It was a bit closer than they probably would have liked at the end, but the Fijians can be dangerous. And now, look, I think it's not going to be, I think there's a lot of people, which has me a bit worried, that think that the Springboks are just going to walk over England. Obviously in 2019,
it was roles reversed, yeah, where England were the favourites.
You could argue this England team isn't as big, as good as they were in 2019. But I think the way that England play is sort of, in a way, going to make, you could argue, maybe make it a bit tougher for South Africa, because it's going to be a much slower game than we saw against the French. It's going to be a more of an attritional, maybe more physical, you call the French game, it's very physical, but it was sort of more high impact collisions that we saw. You know, this one is going to be a more of a typical of a knockout, World Cup knockout match, and you know, it you know, goal kicking could be important again. You know, Farrell, I think, is going to be very important for England. I think they're going to keep him at fly half. That's probably best for him to play there. I think if England can match the Box in the set pieces, it could be a very close game, actually.
They'd want to stay in the fight for as long as they can. Steve Borthwick was very quick after their win in the quarterfinals to say, listen, we've been written off all tournaments, and I have no doubt that we'll be written off again in the semi-final. And I suppose many people will be going South Africa, yeah, overwhelming favourites to win this, but geez, that England team will certainly back themselves. And as we've seen over the history of this competition, and at this stage of the tournament, you know, games are tight. It can be a call here or there, or a bounce of a ball here or there, or a kick here or there, and it changes the outcome of the game. So South Africa announcing their team Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. We're going to get into it now because, geez, I mean, that team that played against France in the quarterfinals obviously had a couple of, you know, surprises potentially in that side that caught us a little bit off guard when they announced that side. Kobus Reinach at number 9 was one of them. Dwayne Vermeulen came in ahead of Jasper Visa as well. Marnie Lubbock was continued to wear the number 10 jersey. But this time around, I mean, how do we see this going? You know, will there be changes? One thing we can rule out for sure is that, you know, any thinking around resting players for a Rugby World Cup semi-final is obviously just not going to happen, right? You don't rest anyone for a Rugby World Cup semi-final with the final in mind, you know, even if the All Blacks is what awaits you in the final. I mean, that's off the table.
Yeah, look, that would be just disrespectful to whoever that you play in the semi-finals, and it could backfire significantly. Yeah, look, I think there have been talks, people saying that they should rest Eben Etzebeth, maybe. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, there's 2 weeks. Essentially, there's two. Yeah, there is two, because if you lose there, you're going to play in the bronze final. So yeah, there's two matches left for these players in the year, you know. So if they look at it like that, you know, then obviously two test matches left for them. But look, I mean, there's no end of year tour that they have to go on. So they can leave everything out there on the park. And it wouldn't make any sense to rest players. It'd be just too risky and it'd be too arrogant. And if it backfires, then, you know, you're not going to look good.
Yeah, just no way that happens. Let's start in the pack and the front row. I suppose, you know, Kitsoff, Bongi and Malheba again?
Yeah, I would think so. Kitsoff obviously conceded a few penalties in general play against the French. So, he was a little bit ill-disciplined, but, I mean, there wasn't any issues, although we didn't have that many scrums. But I felt the box dominated the scrums, the odd scrums that they got. And, you know, the lineouts were good. There wasn't any problems. I actually thought there were a few skew lineouts that the referee didn't pick up.
Good old Ben O'Keefe.
which we were maybe a bit lucky in, but I think on both sides there were a few skew throw-ins for me that wasn't picked up. But apart from that, I don't expect changes there.
Yeah, I mean, there might be, you know, but that's been the nature of the Bok front row, where it could be Ox starting instead of Kitsoff, and it wouldn't be surprising if that happened.
Ox played really well when he came on against France. So he, I mean, the scrum was even stronger for me when he came on. So, but I think Ox is a good impact player. I think they're going to keep him on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, those front rows are so interchangeable. Well, certainly the one and the three, you know, now. It used to be the whole front row, but, you know, Trevor and Yakane could come into the mix this time around. Vincent Koch was also very good when he came on. So, you know, there's three strong options at tight head as well. Let's talk about number two and Bongi. I can't remember how long he stayed on the field against France. I mean, what was it, about 60 minutes or a bit longer? He captained, obviously, after Sia came off. Or did he play the whole game? Did Bongi play the whole game?
Jeez, you've got me stunned. I can't recall actually now at the moment. But there was a period where he was the captain, obviously, because Sia went off very early.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but later, Dwayne Vermeulen came back on due to the HIA rules. So Dwayne then took over the captaincy, but for a brief period, Bongi served as captain, and I see there were a few people criticizing Bongi's captaincy. You know, him maybe having a go at the ref in a bit too loud of a manner.
Yeah.
So maybe he's good just playing. You know, 'cause he's
I
very
think
good
we
player.
Can be kind to ourselves and forgive ourselves for not knowing every detail of what happened in those last few minutes of what was just an emotional roller coaster for everyone who was watching. but yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, Bongi has done the captaincy thing. He started as captain for the Boks as well in Sia's absence this season. But I agree. You know, he just seems to be taking it not too far, but he's very vocal as a skip, and he's in the ref's ear a lot, and it feels like every call that's going against South Africa, Bongi wants to chat about it and, you know, find clarity and everything. And I'm not sure, and you can sense the kind of frustration coming from you know the referee in those moments, going like, Bongi, just let me ref, you know, I've seen the picture here, you've got to trust me that I've seen the right picture here, and that's it. You know, we can't chat about every single decision. So I agree, you know, Dwayne brought a lot more calm, I think, when he came back on, and you know, given how crucial Bongi's playing role is to the Boks at the moment after Marks has left the setup, I would want Bongi to just focus completely on, you know, scrummaging, hitting your breakdowns hard, getting the ball in straight, and you know, focusing solely on what is a huge job at hand, especially if you're asking him to play 70 minutes deep into a game. But yeah, Bongi will obviously be the starting number two for the weekend. No chance you rest Ibn Itzvith for a game this big. So he's got to play for, I mean, just absolutely monstrous against France in every way possible. I mean, even that you know, half intercept, stopping that try, which I think would have made it 14-0 at the time, was it, when France were attacking down the left. I mean, even that, which you wouldn't really associate with this game, he pulled out of the bag, you know, the leg drive to score the try, the defense, I mean, just an absolutely heroic performance. He's got to play. He's got to play every game that's of any kind of consequence for South Africa. And then Franco Mostert, 5. How do you think they're going to go there? Is there any...
I don't see any reason for them changing that up. Argea was obviously on the bench, and he, for me, like I mentioned last week as well, he's a very, very good impact player. But I think on the bench, maybe they could... I've seen Russie spoke yesterday that they could possibly go for a 6-2 split on the bench, which could see John Klein come on as a lock reserve. So you'll have Arche and John Klein as lock reserves to come on later in the game, which, you know, I think the team's going to change a little bit from the French one.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a different matchup. It's a different team. The match is not going to be played with the pace that the French came at the box at. So I expect a few changes, but not in the second row to start. I think they're going to keep going with Mostert and Etzebeth.
Yeah. 6-7-8, no changes there. You wouldn't think. Obviously, Sia captains from number 6. Obviously, Peter Steph carries on at 7. And Dwayne, who was just big in the quarterfinal, no reason to see him, you know, being left out of the semi-final, given how well he played in the quarters.
No, especially since we've discussed now with when Sia went off and then Bongi obviously having to take over as captain, and maybe a few issues came up there, and then luckily Dwayne was able to come back due to that small HIA technicality. But Dwayne just proved, you know, the calm manner with which he handled things. He just proved that how vital he is going to be in a game like that, you know, a massive semi-final of a World Cup. He's much more experienced than Jasper. I don't think it would make any sense now to suddenly bring Jasper Visser back again after you've played Dwayne, you know, in the quarterfinals, which would be unlucky for him because he's played really well.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that's why Dwayne was there, you know, for those moments where they needed leadership. You know, they knew how close the French game was going to be, and Dwayne's leadership seemingly proved vital in that 1-point game.
Yeah. How do we feel about Sia coming off after 45 minutes or 46 minutes? I mean, you know, national captain starting the game. I mean, obviously it's such a transparent system and they all, you know that they have such specific roles in that group. So it's not to say, ach, you're playing poorly and now you're off. It's just part of a plan that they would have had going into the game. But I mean, for me, there's just something about, you know, your national captain and your kind of leader, you know, 60 minutes, you know, kind of seems like a better kind of hit out in a game like this. Do you think those calls are pre-planned, or do you think it's got something to do with performance on the field? Do you think it's got something to do with, you know, emptying the tank? I mean, what's your take on Sia kind of coming off after 45?
He was more quiet for me against the French than he normally was. He didn't have that big an impact. There was one tackle that he really made his presence felt in that he tackled the French player back significantly, but that was about it. I didn't really see an awful lot from him elsewhere in that game, so I don't think it was his best game, but he didn't do much wrong as well.
Yeah.
So maybe that's sort of the part of the reasoning. We must remember the time when he went off, we were also down to 14 men at that stage, when Yemen obviously was off. So maybe that played a role in them wanting fresh legs on, because and it was also a period where, you know, that basically the 20 minutes after halftime, the French were just attacking ferociously. And maybe that they wanted fresh legs there. Obviously, they were a man down and they were just scrambling. You know, the box were just literally just trying to survive in that moment. And, I mean, that could be a reason why Sia was taken off. But yeah, I don't think he had the best game ever, but nothing wrong, I think. But like you said, you would expect him maybe this weekend to play a little bit longer, depending on the scenario of the match.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just said now, like that 20-minute period was France, was just all out attack from France, and
yeah,
against 14 Springboks, they just couldn't get through. And I mean, we just scrambled everywhere on defense. That forced the French to force a few passes. You know, they took a bit of risk. They didn't show enough patience, but it was all because of the defensive pressure that we put on them. Mm. And it was remarkable that we, at the 60-minute mark, only trailed 25-19.
Yeah.
That's basically, even though we were still trailing, that's essentially where we won that game,
yeah,
in that period.
The Boks have spoken numerous times, the management, about, you know, because of the depth that they have and because of the quality they have on the bench, always, if it's not your day, and if it's not going quite according to plan, then, you know, they're not going to hesitate in taking the call to make a change. That's our pack. We're not really expecting too many changes from 1 to 8, perhaps a tweak or two, potentially in the front row. You know, those props, as we said, are so interchangeable, and it could be Ox, it could be Kitsoff, it could be Mohabo, it could be Koch. You know, they can be flexible, though France Mohabo generally does start. But everywhere else from 4 to 8, we're really expecting the same kind of squad, and Dwayne Vermeulen to continue in that number 8 jersey. It gets more interesting in the back line, I suppose, because Kobus Reinach at number 9 was the one surprise against France, and he was very, very noticeable, very energetic, very lively against France, almost frantic in that first half and opening stages, running around kind of with absolutely everything. A very different performance than what you would have expected from a Faf de Klerk, you know, maybe in that same kind of game. And I just wonder if that wasn't what was needed for the France game, to kind of approach it with that intensity and speed and almost frantic nature. And if against an England where things are going to be a bit slower, they might need something different. And if Faf de Klerk won't come back into the equation because of that, because he's the tried and tested traditional Bok number 9. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's what's going to happen. Especially reading Rassie's quotes in the presser yesterday, he was saying there's a temptation to start Lukanya Am, and there's also a temptation to start Hendre Pollard and Faf de Klerk. There's a temptation to put Kanan Moody in the mix with the way England plays, along with going over 6-2 split. So that almost sums it up for me as to what he's thinking. I wouldn't be surprised if Faf and Hendre Pollard actually start this game. Mm. I think you're dead right in saying that Kobus Reinach played because of what they thought the French would do. I mean, the way that first half was played, the high octane, high intensity that the French threw at them, was almost carbon copy for a guy like Kobus Reinach to be there and to play, and also a guy like Marnie Lebok. So you could almost argue now that maybe they've got Pollard and Faf in mind as their starting halfbacks, but just because of the way the French just played differently than you would expect in a normal knockout match.
Yeah.
That's why they went with Lebok and Reinach in that game. So I wouldn't be surprised. Look, I was surprised last week when Reinach started. You didn't really know what Rassie and Jock are going to do, but
yeah,
it would maybe make a bit more sense to go with those two to start for this game. And then if it doesn't go well, and if you see England are really in the game, then you've got impact guys on the bench that you can bring on that can actually change the game. Mm. So maybe that's the route that they're going to go for, which I don't think would be a horrible selection.
Mm. How many other teams in world rugby can do this? I mean, even just the fact that we're talking about this is insane. I mean, to have two different halfback pairings for a quarterfinal against the hosts and, you know, tournament co-favorites, and then 6 days later to have a brand new halfback pairing against the team you beat in the final 4 years earlier in a game of this kind of, you know, magnitude. I mean, that's just ridiculous to think that. I mean, the All Blacks maybe could do
that's
it.
That's what I was wanting to say. Like, probably the All Blacks team under Steve Hansen.
Yeah.
You know, that team that won, they obviously won the 2011 World Cup, and then they built up towards the 2015 where they actually peaked and won that tournament relatively comfortably, actually. Yeah. That team, if you look at that four-year period of the All Blacks, they quite often played almost interchangeably to two teams. Like, yeah, they had so much depth then. They also didn't really know what their best 15 was. And I think the Springboks, in a way, are similar now. And that's what actually had me worried before the French game, because I don't think they actually know what their best 15 players are to pick.
Yeah.
I think they've got this immense depth. They've got this great squad. And they're almost just picking the team for the opposition against, yeah, like, who they're playing against. And the All Blacks were like that in that golden period that they had also. If you can compare, I can't really recall any other team in the history of Test rugby that had that much depth,
yeah,
as we do now. So it's obviously a nice thing to have, but it could also be to your detriment if you then obviously
you get it wrong. Yeah, you know, I mean, you've got to balance calls. It all up and, yeah, get the right
players. So it's a tough thing to manage, but they've done really well so far.
Yeah. Andre Pollard kicked that 52-meter penalty that was crucial in the end of the game after he came on against France, which, you know, is probably out of range for Marnie Lubbock and anyone else on the field, which is what made it, you know, so important and which really stressed Pollard's importance to the Bok cause. But there were some concerns elsewhere in his game, you know, just seeming a bit, you know, defensively,
yeah,
not quite there. Maybe just the spatial awareness and the angles and a couple of tackles, you know, that he slipped. So there were concerns with his general game. And I wonder how much of that is down to just simply a lack of rugby and sharpness, because, you know, match sharpness and not having played that level of rugby for so long. So I'm thinking, you know, Faf de Klerk back in and probably sticking with Marty Lubbock, because it's not like Faf and Lubbock, you know, haven't played together. I mean, they know each other well and they can certainly play together as well. So I just wonder if they won't, you know, keep the insurance of Pollard's boots on the bench, but back the match sharpness and game management of Marnie Lubbock in the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's a good argument to make, because Pollard did have a few defensive lapses against French, which were quite surprising, because he's normally a very good defender. He's a good organizer normally as well. So that the only thing that I can think of is that he hasn't played an awful lot in the last few months. So in that regard, probably to be safe, it probably would be safe to stick with Marnie. And then obviously with Faf coming in. But then I also like the fact that you've got a guy like Marnie on the bench that can maybe spark something, you know, if we're down. But look, there's sound arguments to make for both sides. And yeah, it's a tough thing to pick the Springbok team. You know, there's so many options. And I think luckily they have those options. Luckily for them, apart from the Malcolm Marks injury and obviously Mapimpi being out, they haven't been that many injuries in this tournament, and I think they're lucky in that regard.
Yeah. Right, let's get to midfield. For me, Damian Delendi plays. Andre Esterhazen, obviously always a great option to have as a backup, but Delendi just, I mean, again, against France, that try and started it, finished it, and just a powerhouse at 12. You'd agree that there's no need to make any changes there?
No, I don't expect them to make changes. I mean, it'd be silly to drop Damien after the performance he put in on the weekend. And I see there now talks, a lot of people thinking that Lukanya Am could maybe come into the starting team this weekend. Rassi's saying that there was a temptation to pick him, or there is a temptation to pick him on Saturday. But I mean, geez, how harsh would that be on Jesse Creel? You know, I think he played arguably his best rugby match ever on Sunday against France. I mean, his defense was just superb. He got a bit of a facial injury. I see he was stitched up yesterday in training. I think he got 10 stitches or something to his head.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that could maybe have an influence on whether they pick him in the starting team or not, but I don't think so, or you wouldn't think so. So, I mean, he was superb on defense. I mean, he was, I was talking about the French in that period just after halftime having so many chances inside the SA territory, but they just couldn't get through, and they kept forcing passes and they didn't have the patience. And it was partly due to the fact that Jesse Creel was putting so much pressure on that back line, you know, yeah, defensively. He was superb for me. So it'd be very harsh to drop him. But yeah, like I mean, a guy like Lukanya hasn't played in a long while, so I think it'd be very risky to go and pick him now.
Yeah.
So I would, if it was me, I would stay with Damien and Jesse.
Yeah.
Just because of what they produced against France.
Yeah, the stitches to the head. For me, if you played the whole game with the, the cuts and the bandage, I mean, unlikely that he's going to, that's going to keep him out. But I mean, that's the only way I see him not playing. I mean, through a fitness concern or a head injury or something, a concussion protocol. But, you know, based on that performance, you can't really leave a guy like that out after a performance like that.
I mean, it's just the game of his life. So, be very harsh to drop him.
Yeah, and as we said, you know, this isn't where you rotate players. This isn't where you rest players with the final in mind. This is where you pick your best available team to book your spot in a Rugby World Cup final. The interesting thing is that we always in the media, we work off this kind of given that, you know, the guys who appear in front of press, will play on the weekend. And I mean, yesterday was Andre Pollard and Kanan Moody. And then if you factor in the Rassi quotes about the fact that he's considering Kanan Moody, and then you think about the fact that Kanan Moody's only played really 13 at the tournament so far, and you start thinking about the options at outside centre. I mean, if Kanan Moody was to feature in the semi-final, you know, where would that be? Would it be on the wing? Would it be at 13 or would it be on the bench? But geez, I just find it very difficult to think that you can go into that game with anyone other than Jesse Creel and the number 13 jersey based on what he did in the quarterfinals. Lucanyo Am is an interesting one because we all know the quality, we all know the ability, and, you know, the obvious concern is that there's just a complete lack of match fitness there. And he would have gotten sharper on the training field over the last 2 weeks since being back with the squad. But can you really throw a guy like that who's so short of any game time into a Rugby World Cup semi-final, whether it be on the bench or the starting lineup? I mean, for you, do you realistically see a situation where Lucanyo Am could be part of the match, say, 23 on the weekend?
I don't think it would be wise. If he was going to play, then why did they not do it against France last weekend? Because he would have been a perfect counter, you know, for that high octane type of rugby that the French play. So then you could argue that he should have been picked last week already. So if they didn't pick him last week, I can't see them picking him this week again. And like you said, it's very interesting that Moody was up for press yesterday.
Yeah,
because that normally, you know, from what we've experienced in our careers so far, that normally means that the player is going to be part of the match day squad. But I think he's probably more going to, because I mean, on the wing, you can't drop Curtly Orange or Cheslin Colby. I mean, both of them played so well as well. So then you'd think that Moody's going to feature on the bench, but then it becomes interesting, who do you drop from the bench? And then the only guy that I can think of is possibly is Willy LaRue then.
Yeah,
and we know how they like Willy LaRue. The coaches really like Willy LaRue.
It's deja vu. It's 2019 all over again. You remember at the end of 2019 when the whole of South Africa was calling for Willy LaRue to get dropped after the Japan quarterfinal, and I think after the Wales semi-final as well. And then they persisted with him all the way through to the final, and he had a great game in the final. And it feels like that a bit again now because he is error prone. You keep talking about it on this podcast. You know, he's capable of creating something. But just these silly little errors that creep into his game at times where you really just don't need them. You know, the momentum's building, the boxer on the attack, the crowd's getting going. And then Philly, he does a Philly and just spills the ball. And the whole of South Africa, you can hear just, you know, moaning at him together. So that is interesting because Damian Willemse came off quite early as well on the weekend for Philly. And I noticed that when Willemse came off, I went like, oof. That's quite a call because Willemse for me is the guy. I mean, he's completely solidified his position at number 15 now.
Yeah, and he's more versatile, you could argue, as well. He can play center and fly half as well. So I don't see them dropping him unless there's some sort of niggle that they're hiding from us that we don't know about. But the fact that Moody was up for media yesterday means that I think they're going to pick him in the squad. Someone's going to have to be dropped.
Let's say they go 6-2, as Rassi hinted at yesterday. So the extra forward, we can agree, would be Jean Klein coming in to provide that extra muscle in the pack. What does that mean for the two?
Backs.
For the two backline players. I mean, I still think you know, even though Grant Williams is flexible in that he can give you a job on the wing as well, so can Kobus Reinach.
Yes.
And Williams might play, yeah. Can Williams do a job somewhere anywhere else in that back line? I mean, I don't know if he
probably
could.
At fullback.
Yeah. But I think, you know, just given Kobus Reinach's form at the moment, I would go Reinach as the, presuming that Faf starts, I'd go Reinach as the backup scrum half. Yes. Covering wing and obviously nine. What do you do with the other position now on the back line? If you've got, is it Libok / Pollard, you know, whichever one isn't starting as the other back line player, does that give you enough, does that cover enough positions in the back line? I mean, how do you balance that if it's 6-2?
Yeah, look, it's very tough because there's only two backs that you can pick on the bench then. But you have to have Libok and Pollard in the squad. And then if you pick a scrum half, then there's not going to be a spot for Kane and Moody.
So it's 5-3. It's 5-3 again. It's got to be.
Maybe they've been conning us all along that.
Yeah.
For me, I would go 5-3 because it just makes it easier. You know, You don't need two locks and two props, and then you've got a versatile hooker as well. So I would go, and you've got Kwagga Smith as another loose forward reserve as well. So I would go 5-3 because then that would give you the option, obviously, of picking. Yes, you've got either Pollard or Libok on the bench, and then you've got the scrum off reserve, which should be Reinach, like we said, if Faf starts. And then it's either, then for me it would be between Kane and Moody and Willie LaRue, and I would probably pick Kane and Moody, ahead of him.
Maybe that's the way it's going. I love Sim's piece this morning on News 24 about Kwagga Smith, and he's chatted to Swayze De Bruyn about how when they first saw Kwagga Smith as an under 21 player in a friendly against the Lions senior squad, he was so just devastating at the breakdown that they were convinced he was doing something illegal, so they had to go check the footage afterwards, only to find that he was just an absolute warrior at the breakdown. He really has become one of the most important, you know, figures on that Springbok bench. Jeez, there's a lot to talk about. We can't wait for the team announcement. We'll bring that live to you on News 24 tomorrow at 9 o'clock. As the team comes out, we'll break it for you and get it to you on your phones wherever you are. So make sure you look out for that. And we cannot wait for the weekend of rugby. South Africa against England, Saturday, 9 o'clock, the Rugby World Cup semi-final. Obviously, on Friday night, it's Argentina against the All Blacks. Three Southern Hemisphere sides left standing at the tournament. This has been the Inside Pass. Join us again tomorrow. All the best and cheers.